Australia's coronavirus vaccine rollout has been beset by challenges, and one of the big ones is the fact that we have limited supply of the vaccine that is recommended for the majority of the population, Pfizer. This was frustrating a month or two ago, but has now become an urgent issue with the virus spreading in Australia's two biggest cities. Supplies of Pfizer are due to ramp up in the coming months, but people are at risk of infection now. So how do you best manage a finite resource when you're dealing with an outbreak? Some countries overseas have experience which we here could learn from if we're open to new ideas. Professor Nancy Baxter is head of the University of Melbourne's School of Population and Global Health. Hello, Nancy.
Hi.
So you're studying here, you're researching here in Australia, but you're from Canada originally, and Canada's a good proxy for Australia in a way. They've struggled with vaccine supplies, they've had to import doses, we've got similar geographic challenges ahead of us. How has Canada gotten around some of these issues?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of challenges in Canada. Canada was, I think, believed the very first place to license Pfizer vaccine in mid-December. But, you know, until, you know, February or so, they were vaccinating really fairly few people per day. And even when they got to March, they were only vaccinating about 150,000 people per day. And remember, this is someplace that was having a major outbreak of COVID-19. Over 25,000 people have died of COVID in Canada. You know, millions have gotten the disease. So this is a place with a big outbreak, and you know, we knew that we had vaccines approved, but just couldn't get the supply. And that's because the supply was not being allowed out of the United States. The United States manufactures a lot of Moderna and Pfizer, which Canada had procured, but it wasn't released by the United States. So we were getting it from Europe, but we were getting relatively small amounts. So it wasn't really until April, May, and June when supply started really coming in, and it's been extremely plentiful now.
That's a familiar story in Australia, right? Yeah. Like we've had drip feeding supply so far. It's meant to ramp up soon. So Canada has managed to ramp up its delivery. What was involved in doing that? What are the mechanics?
Well, they had procured very early. So July, August, they had procured a large amount of Moderna and Pfizer, also, you know, Novavax and AstraZeneca as well. So they had tried to hedge their bets with all the major types of vaccine to make sure they had enough, really, of any type so that they could vaccinate everyone, because they just weren't sure what vaccine was actually going to work. No one knew what was going to be effective. So they actually bought per capita a large amount of vaccine. And when you think about it from a global perspective, really kind of tying up all that vaccine really kind of means that other countries aren't able to access it. But nevertheless, Canada wasn't able to access it for, you know, months before it became more available when, you know, the vaccine rates in the United States started dropping off.
So one of the things that's been reported on a lot from Canada is the fact that they were giving out first doses and not holding back supply for second doses, and they were extending the gap between the two doses of the vaccines. What is that like? Is that a good thing that they did?
Yeah, so I think there were a few strategies that Canada did to try and kind of use an amount of vaccine that just wasn't enough to do the job. So to try and help more people. So one of them was, as you were saying, they were focusing on first dose. Now, this was in the days of, you know, COVID 1.0 or of Alpha, where one dose was fairly effective at stopping spread and stopping disease. We saw that from Israel when they started vaccinating with Pfizer. It really only took 2 weeks before they saw the hospitalizations and deaths start to go down. So what they did was, and it started in Quebec, where the outbreak was the worst, they started focusing on first dose. And what they did was they committed to getting the second dose in people within 120 days, so within 4 months. And now kind of it's much shorter. So because they've gotten plentiful amounts of Pfizer and Moderna now, they're actually being able to make that interval much, much shorter for people. And they're really focusing on the second dose. But by focusing on the first dose, it allowed them to get some protection into a large number of people. Now, what's interesting is initially they had only Pfizer. Now they're getting Moderna. So they now have more Moderna than Pfizer. So they've actually approved a mix and match. So they're recommending to people that if they had Pfizer, You know, because Delta, it's most effective if you have the two doses of the vaccine. It's the one dose still has some effect, but, you know, much better off if you get two doses of vaccine. They're basically saying, you know, go and get Pfizer or Moderna, no matter what you had before. What's available is what you should get, and you should feel protected with that. So, you know, a lot of things being done in Canada that you probably wouldn't do if you weren't in the middle of a raging pandemic, but they really are.
We've got outbreaks in Australia's two biggest cities, like we said before. Are these things that should be considered in Sydney and Melbourne?
Well, I think the first dose strategy, now that you have more Pfizer, is a viable strategy. You know, we know that there's going to be plentiful supply in just a few months. So it may be worth kind of vaccinating as many people as you can with the first dose and then adding the second dose when the supply of that is more plentiful. So I think that that is, you know, a reasonable strategy to do. There are a few other things that Canada did that I think are useful to consider. One is hotspot vaccination. So it's quite a sad story. So, you know, there's some areas of Toronto, similar to here, with, you know, a lot of immigrant populations, kind of lower socioeconomic status. And then the people that have a lot of essential workers. And these regions in Toronto were had higher rates of COVID cases, COVID illness, and COVID death. But then what they found was, you know, when the vaccine was in short supply, they actually had a low rate of vaccination. And it was areas that were, you know, rich areas of town where people were working from home and there were low rates of cases, low rates of illness and death. They were the places that really had the high vaccination rate. And so, you know, unfortunately, it kind of happened around the time that a 13-year-old girl died in one of these areas that they decided to actually prioritize these hotspots. And they actually closed some of the vaccination sites in the more affluent regions of Toronto and moved all the doses of Pfizer up to Peel, which was the region where there were these outbreaks. So moved the doses up to there and really focused on these hotspots to get as many vaccines into people in that area as possible. They also reduced the age criteria there. So instead of, like, they were, I think at that point, they were at the 50 and over everywhere else. But in those hotspots, it was basically anyone could get vaccinated.
Good things for Australia to consider. Nancy, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Professor Nancy Baxter is an epidemiologist, surgeon, and head of the University of Melbourne School of Population and Global Health.